We all hope the Orioles can make a playoff push at the major league level finally this year, but that does not mean that things will get any worse at the minor league level. In fact, they could even get better. So today, it's the event you've all been waiting for, the 2023 Orioles minor league draft, coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast.
You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Thursday, March 9th, 2023, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. And coming up on today's episode, we are doing the 2023 Orioles minor league draft as the three co-hosts from the BSL On the Verge podcast, Zach Spedden, Bob Phelan, and Nick Stevens will be joining me once again. We did this draft for the first time 1 year ago in 2022, each drafting 15 Orioles minor leaguers, a full starting nine plus five starting pitchers and a reliever. Only thing is they cannot have appeared in the big leagues yet. All those players that haven't are eligible in the draft. And we try to put together the best teams that we can. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. This will be part one of the draft, our first seven of our 15 rounds coming up here on part one of the 2023 Orioles minor league draft. So for the second straight year, here we are. It is the 2023 Orioles minor league draft. I am Connor Newcomb, host of Locked On Orioles, and we've got the crew that knows this Orioles minor league system best from BSL's On the Verge podcast covering all things Orioles minor leagues. It is Bob Phelan, Zach Spedden, and Nick Stevens, the three co-hosts of that podcast. And I guess I'll start with Bob, go around the room here. Just how you doing and how you feeling going into draft year two here?
Doing great, feeling confident with that first pick. And yeah, this is a fun way to talk about the depth in the system, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm doing well, and I'm feeling much better. This year I have the second pick rather than the fourth pick.
Yeah, glad to be doing this for a second year. Hopefully I don't get stuck with all of the 18-year-old international guys again this year.
Yeah, we will see. When you were listening to this, I'll have last year's full draft order back on the Locked On Orioles Twitter account just so people can go back. We did put it to a vote last year for the fans kind of at the beginning of the season and then went back at the end of the season and did so again to see how we did. And that's kind of the same thing we'll do here is put together these teams. You're trying to put together a team that's going to do the best in 2023, and then we'll go back at the end of the season and take a look. The rules of the draft, they are the same if you did listen in or watch last year, but there will be 15 rounds, so each of us will pick 15 players. We'll take a full lineup of players, the eight positions, and a DH. We'll each take five starting pitchers and one relief pitcher as well. The rules of where you can put guys are fairly lax. If a guy has played at least a handful of games at that position, you can draft him out there. I'll even be as lax to say if you really had to put Connor Norby in left field, like, I might let you do it. I think we're going to be that lax. In terms of pitching, you know, the Orioles with a lot of piggybacking, it's tough to say who's a starter, who's a reliever. I think for the reliever case, we're going to say that has to be a legitimate relief type prospect who is already at least mostly a reliever in the minors, but anybody else can be considered a starter after that for those five starting pitching spots. Now, the only other stipulation is it is not all Orioles prospects. It is only Orioles minor leaguers who have never appeared in a big league game. So that does take Gunnar Henderson off the board. It takes DL Hall off the board. And I know in some places, Kyle Stower is still considered a prospect. He is off the board as well because they have all played in major league games. So I did do a random generation of the draft order here for this one, and came out with Bob with the first pick, Zach with the second pick. I will get the third, and Nick gets the fourth. It is a snake draft, which means Nick will pick fourth and fifth. So let's give it to Bob. Let's kick it off, and let's go with this draft. Bob's got the number one pick. I have an inkling of who I think he's taken, but I'll hand it over to Bob here.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher than you might think. I mean, pitching, some people say the pitching depth isn't quite there in the Orioles system. I think we are, as On the Verge as a whole, are a little more believers in that. But I think the obvious choice is the guy who, you know, Gunnar Henderson is not eligible. Why not get the next best thing with Jackson Holliday at shortstop? Most likely the, at least a top five prospect in baseball this time next year. Maybe give the Orioles 3 years in a row with the number one prospect in baseball. He's 19 years old and he looks really good already at Major League Spring Training. We expect him to start the year at Aberdeen, which didn't expect that until about 3 weeks ago. So pretty good. We even talked about how we might be underrating him, even if we think the national pundits might be a little ahead of us when it's usually the other way around. But give me Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, so we'll kick it over to Zach here. That's actually not who I thought Bob was going to pick. So I'm assuming Zach will take who I thought Bob would go with number one off the board here at number two.
I'm going to go with Grayson Rodriguez. I think that he's poised for a pretty big rookie season. One thing I found interesting about his spring so far is that he's gone out and faced close to, and you can use that term generously with the Tigers, close to major league ready lineups, and has held his own. The stuff looks good right now, and this is a pitcher that when he is on looks like a future ace. And I think even if it's only over 120, 125 innings at the major league level this year, Rodriguez is going to make a difference at the back of that rotation.
Yeah, I think I would have gone Grayson Rodriguez first just because he's ready to go and it should be a great year at the big leagues. But you could also argue that if Jackson Holliday's in Delmarva and Aberdeen for a lot of this year, I mean, he's going to put up some stats that are going to be ridiculous. And that probably helps you in this kind of draft. I do think that there was a pretty clear 1-2 to go in this draft. And once we get here to number three, there's a couple different options. I am going to take Heston Kjerstad with the third pick. Am I buying in a little bit too much that he hit two home runs in his first big league spring training game? Maybe. But after winning MVP of the Arizona Fall League and, you know, going through what he went through, the kind of up and down season that he had, a great start, you know, things weren't amazing in Aberdeen, but they aren't for many hitters. We're going to see him in Bowie, which is certainly going to challenge him to begin the year because, you know, he hasn't seen the high minors yet at all. But I just think the Orioles believe in this bat. I think he's finally healthy. He's finally ready to go. And I'm going to take Kjerstad in my outfield and send it over to Nick for the next two picks.
I love the bold pick there. I can go anywhere I want here with these two picks, but I think I'm going to go ahead and take another outfielder with my first pick. I'm going to go Colton Cowser first, put him in there at center field. I mean, we've heard, I've gone on the rant on our show enough times, but I just really love Cowser and his ability to get on base. I mean, he three levels in his first full year of pro ball, had a combined 406 on base percentage. Yeah, the strikeouts were elevated, especially in the lower levels of the minor leagues, but we know he was working on some things in high A, just absurd numbers in double A. And then as he was the final week, 2 weeks of the season in triple A, you could tell he was really starting to settle in. The stats were really improving for him. So hit a home run, nice opposite field home run the other day, as Ben McDonald kind of forecasted that one as the play happened. So good for Cowser there. And to bring this back around, you know, there's a position that we're really deep in, so I feel like I could wait. There is an elite starter here that I do really like, but this is a tough one. I'm going to go third baseman Kobe Mayo here with my next pick. You know, he was promoted. We know the numbers down at Aberdeen maybe didn't pop off the page for him, but we know a lot of the underlying data was really good. We know talking to him that he was confident in what he was doing down there in Aberdeen, and you know, still got promoted to double A at the age of 20 years old. So didn't turn 21 until December. So I think that tells you exactly what how the Orioles view him right now. And I think 2023 is going to be that true breakout year for Kobe Mayo. And he's going to end this year in triple A Norfolk, counting down the doors to the major league. So I like Cowser and Mayo with my two picks here.
Yeah. I feel like you cleaned up. Cowser and Mayo, back-to-back picks. The middle of your lineup is looking pretty good. I mean, I was pretty much deciding between Cowser, Mayo, and Kjerstad. So you took my next two picks. I just felt like Heston Kjerstad, I just want him on my team because there's actually more question marks, which might be a good thing because we haven't even seen anything close to what the best version of Heston Kjerstad can be. And definitely excited for that. So now I'm looking at a spot where, I mean, I'm taking an infielder here, and it's just a question of which infielder. And maybe I am going a little off the board as well, like the Kjerstad pick, but the bat is just unbelievable. And I want Connor Norby on my team. And listen, in terms of defensive versatility, in terms of maybe overall value that he'll have at the big league level, there's a strong argument to be made that Joey Ortiz and Jordan Westberg could both be better players. But Connor Norby's bat, I mean, hitting at ECU, coming here in the 2021 draft, just hitting his way all the way to AAA last year. It's just ridiculous what he can do with the bat, the power. And I feel like on your show, every time you guys have an Orioles minor leaguer on, they mention Connor Norby when you ask about, you know, who's a hitter that impresses you, a guy you don't want to face. So it seems like the players in the system see it too, and I'm putting Connor Norby in the infield.
He still led all Orioles minor league hitters with, what, 29 home runs, and he missed a big chunk of time last year with the injury and some, you know, non-injury IL stints. So that's even more testament to how real that power was.
Yeah, I was hoping he would fall to me with my second pick to give me that nice infield up the middle, but alas.
So we'll get back to our 2023 Orioles minor league draft in just a second. But first, this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. And I know the big argument right now is NBA MVP. Just put your money on Nikola Jokic. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
I'm going to go another middle infielder as well, and I'll take Joey Ortiz. I think what we've seen in the last 2 years, I don't know that Ortiz is going to be a big-time home run hitter at the major league level, but I do think that there's a few things he's going to do really well. He's not going to strike out a lot. He's going to walk a lot. And he can at least drive the ball into the gaps, and he gives you elite defense at shortstop. And now he's on the 40-man roster, so I have to question at what point this year does he make the major leagues. But for now, you've got a really good starting shortstop at AAA, and a guy who has gone – in the last few years from being the quote-unquote glove-first shortstop to now just being a really solid all-around player and from some outlets' perspective, a top 100 prospect. So I feel good with Ortiz here.
Take one of my favorites right from me. Again, back-to-back picks that are stealing my second base slot, so I'll go somewhere else completely different with my next pick. I'm going to stick with the youth movement and give me Samuel Basayo, a catcher here. Just feel like catcher is not the deepest position, at least when it comes to the top end talent on the prospects in the system. Kind of like first base is even worse. But Basayo, he can play catcher. He can play first DH. This time last year, I think we took him, and it was kind of a question. Is he actually a catcher or is he a first base DH? And it actually seems like the more eyes that have been on him, the more people think that he can stick behind the plate. He's athletic enough, despite his big frame. He's got the arm to do it. And especially once Robo Umps get instituted, it's like, why not just stick him behind the plate? And that power potential on offense has me dreaming on Yordan Alvarez light. So we'll see about that. And with my next pick around the turn, I will go with, you know, I got to defend Jackson Holliday a little bit here. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez, great. Great pitcher, obviously. Going to be up in the running for Rookie of the Year this year, I feel like, and start off just like a bat out of heck. But Jackson Holliday, when he finishes the year in AA or AAA with monster numbers, I think you guys will see I was in the right. And I'm going to take a pitcher anyway here with my third pick, Cade Povich. You guys let a top 54 prospect in baseball fall all the way down to the third round, you suckers. No. Cade Povich, I got to see him live in Florida last weekend or 2 weeks ago now, and he looks fantastic. Great mix of pitches, and maybe he even gets a cup of coffee this year at the major league level. We'll see, but I see big things on the horizon for Cade Povich.
I feel like Bob's playing the game well, going for two of the positions that aren't the deepest in the system compared to others, going and getting a catcher and a starting pitcher, and you know, going and getting the number one catcher and the number one or the number two starting pitcher, the number one left probably a good way to play the game.
So in my pick here, I'm going to go in a spot that is deep, but a player that I really like, and that is Dillon Beavers. The Orioles, after drafting him out of Cal last year, did make some adjustments to his swing, and it seemed to pay off immediately. And we've gotten the question a lot since our list came out a few weeks ago about why is Beavers ahead of Heston Kjerstad in your top 50? And what it comes back to for me is that Beavers is a better defender with good power, and he may have the better hit tool between him and Kjerstad. I think it's close between the two, but I think Beavers is a really solid all-around player, and the adjustments to his swing that he made last summer seem to pay off, and I'm confident in them contributing to a big 2023.
Yeah.
I love Dillon Beavers, and so I'm a little sad he did not get here. I think actually when I did my draft episodes after the draft last year, the episode that probably excited me the most was Kyle Kishimoto, who writes for Fangraphs, but also goes to Cal and is in attendance for like most Cal baseball games, just talking about Dillon Beavers. And like, yeah, the swing is weird, but you know, Kyle would get a look at some of the data from the people at Cal, and it was just like, everything is ridiculous with this weird swing. And he was like, the Orioles will probably make some adjustments, which they've already started doing a little bit, but nothing too crazy. And as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be really, really good. But for my pick, I'm kind of surprised that Jordan Westberg is still here. So I might as well go ahead and make a middle infield of Jordan Westberg and Connor Norby right here and put together a solid team up the middle. So I'm taking Jordan Westberg.
I was hoping you get bold again and Westberg would fall to me and I would be pretty stacked. Not going to lie. I like Westberg a lot. And I think we've talked a lot on our show. I mean, there's really not a lot left he has to prove down the minor leagues, except maybe consistency. And he's beating down the doors to the major leagues. He's ready to go, I think. So my two picks here, I definitely got to go pitcher because it's a long way back. I'm drafting with Sharks. And the pitching is now getting a little thin. So I'm going to go Drew Rom with my first pick here to be my anchor of the staff. I've always been a really big Drew Rom fan. He's really done nothing. I know wins, you know, don't really mean anything for a pitcher stat, but the guy just wins. I mean, he's a lefty who, yeah, the velo hasn't been there, and that's been kind of the big issue with him. But it's ticked up, and the guy's been a winner at every single level. A lot of strikeouts. The walks were never really much of an issue. I think AAA got a little taste of AAA. The walks went up, but, you know, new baseball, tough competition. And he's still extremely young. I mean, he's still only, 22, 23 years old. So still young for the level as well. Added to the Orioles 40-man roster. So hopefully we see him in the major leagues at some point this year. And to kick off the next round, I think I'm going – could go double pitcher here, which I kind of want to do, but I'm not. I'm going to go with another big bopper in the middle of my lineup here and go outfielder Judd Fabian. Just the numbers are the data on Fabian. You're talking about the data on Dillon Beavers. The data on Judd Fabian when he was in college is ridiculous. Some of the numbers he put up in Delmarva were absurd. Got to Aberdeen last year after being drafted and, you know, struggled the last week or so of the regular season, but the playoffs came. And Judd Fabian really turned it on in the playoffs, a couple home runs or a home run, a couple of base hits. I think, you know, strikeouts are probably always going to be there with Judd Fabian, but the power is legit. I think he's a true center fielder. And I think he's going to skyrocket up prospect lists when he gets a full season under his belt this year.
Solid outfield defense. Who's playing center out of those two, Kowser and Fabian?
I think I'm going to give the nod to Fabian right now.
Are we moving Kowser to left or right for the moment?
Let's move Kowser to the left. I got an idea for right.
Oh, he's got an idea. You know, I'm looking at my team now, and I'm looking at Norby, Westberg, and Kjerstad, and I'm loving my lineup, and I'm thinking, do I need to get a pitcher? And there's definitely pitchers left who stand above the rest, but I think we're into kind of the meat and potatoes of the Orioles pitching, where you have a lot of guys who could hit this year, but I don't think there's as many guys who you are super confident like this guy will absolutely hit in 2023. So I think I'll just go back to my lineup and just keep making it better. And I'm going to go with the guy who the Orioles took pretty high in the draft last year. And I'm just going to rely on just big time power at third base and take Max Wagner. I mean, he's such an interesting guy in this system, because when you're going to look at third base, you're going to immediately go to Kobe Mayo. And I mean, the guys are basically the same age, I think, at this point, Mayo and Wagner. But you're looking at a guy who kind of came out of nowhere to be the ACC player of the year at Clemson. And does he get to the big leagues with the O's? I don't know, because you're drafting a guy with big time right-handed power in a stacked infield at Camden Yards, which doesn't really play as much to righties now, but we're just looking at his 2023 minor league stats. And I think between Aberdeen and maybe Bowie this year, once Mayo goes to Norfolk, he's going to hit a lot of home runs, especially if he gets to Bowie.
Good pick. Definitely threw some things off for me. I'm going to stick with the infield, though, and I'm going to go with a player who was a riser last year and I think has more helium coming into this year, and that's Frederick Bencosme. Maybe some of the best bat-to-ball skills in this system. And what you can see on any given night from Bencosme is that he has multiple ways of beating you. He can drop a bunt down. He can slap a soft line drive over the shortstop's head from the left side and it drops in for a base hit. Or he can tap into this power that you don't necessarily look at him and think that he has and drive the ball out to right field or right center. I think that he has the athleticism to stick on the dirt in the infield, second or third. And if the power really kicks it into another gear this year, that's going to be a guy that is Aberdeen, Bowie. This time next year, we're talking about him starting somewhere in Norfolk's infield. So I'll go with Bencosme.
With Joey Ortiz.
Position?
Yeah, already on the team. You going to play some second base?
He's my second baseman. I like my defense up the middle. I see Bencosme's better on that side of the bag anyway. So I like my up the middle defense and my up the middle offense.
I've never hated anyone more in my life. I wanted Bencosme with my next pick. I love it. Really threw me for a loop here. So I think I'm going to go with the guy who I thought was going to break out last year, got off to a great start, but injuries kind of derailed his season. Once you get to the middle and the end of the year, he's fully healthy now. So this is the year he breaks out. Everyone's sleeping on him. John Rhodes, boring name, not a boring player. I'll put him out in right field for me. I think he's going to start back at Bowie. I think he's going to really light up that hitter-friendly ballpark pretty good, end the year in AAA, and look to make his debut in 2024. And, geez, yeah, I think I got to do it. I got to go back-to-back outfielders. Give me the, you know, nothing too exciting, but steady Eddie and Hudson Haskin. He can play center field. He's going to hit like 250, 260, a little bit of power. He's going to steal some bases, great defense, good arm, just an all-around good player, maybe like a Ryan McKenna, a little more upside than that ultimately. So I'll take him for center field.
I'm going to go center field here too. I'm going to go with a guy we've not seen a lot of yet, and that's Reed Trimble. Unfortunately, an injury kept him out for most of last season, but he looked good in Delmarva when he got back, was picking things up in the Arizona Fall League a little bit after a few weeks there. Everything you hear about Trimble is that the raw athleticism is there for him to be a really good major league player. And I'm not big into comps, but there were a lot of Whit Merrifield comps thrown around at the time that Trimble was drafted. And it's because he can run. He's got some versatility. He's got a decent amount of power. What we see from him over a full season is still a big question, but I look at him as nothing else as a guy that has the athleticism to stick in center field and the raw tools to put something together at the plate.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a guy who I've been on the train of, we're finally going to see a healthy season and we're finally going to see how good he is and why the Orioles took him so high. I'm going to maybe step on your guys' toes here and just take the guy you all just had on the podcast. And I'm going to take Chase McDermott. And listen, I need a pitcher. I'd made four selections without a pitcher. I don't know if McDermott's going to be the number one at any of the levels he'll be at this year, but he's going to be the number one on the Connor Newcomb Orioles minor league draft team because the stuff is nasty. And hearing him talk on your podcast this week, it was nice to hear that, you know, he knows that the command was kind of number one thing. But it wasn't just that. It was, hey, I'm working on two different sliders. Hey, I'm switching my changeup to a splitter. So it seems like he had the time to, yeah, I need to hone in the command, but I'm still making my stuff better. And, you know, maybe it's recency bias from literally just listening to that like 4 hours ago. But that got me fired up to take him as my number one pitcher.
No, just watch this highlights. I mean, watch the curveball, watch the exploding fastball. If he gets the control, finds the control, finds the command, Chase McDermott's going to be a really solid pitcher in this organization. I need some up the middle help. I don't think I have any middle infielders here. I got a strong outfield, but Michael Elias would be disappointed that I don't have a strong middle infield right now. So I'm going to go second baseman Cesar Prieto here. I've been the low guy on Prieto, to be honest, among like the three of us I know on our show. It just didn't really do it a lot for me last year. We saw the big power in Aberdeen, which was weird when he came over. And then he gets to Bowie, a more hitter-friendly park, and really struggled to get on base. You know, strikeouts went up. He's not going to walk much. We know he's a swinger. He's a bat-to-ball guy. But I don't just the videos this offseason, Bob said it best. You know, he went down there in Sarasota. It looks like Prieto's really bulked up. He's had a couple good at-bats this spring. I'm starting to become a come around on Prieto again. Not going to knock him. Making a major life adjustment that first year coming stateside. So I'm going to buy the hype again on Prieto and that bat. And then I'm going to go back to pitcher for my next pick. And I'm going to take another guy who is on the 40-man roster. Mr. Undrafted after 40 rounds, Noah DeNoyer. Guy had a monster year last year, 21 games. It was kind of like that swingman role, kind of long relief out of the bullpen, but a 2.89 ERA last year across, you know, two different levels. A lot of strikeouts. We talked about early on in his career, walks were an issue. And if he could lower that walk rate, then, you know, he'd become a more interesting pitcher to watch. He only walked 17 guys all year last year. Sub one whip, sub 200 batting average against. Now he's on the 40 man. And I think there's that ceiling for DeNoyer is still, I think it's a little bit higher than what most people think it is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I don't know if he'll get to the big leagues this year. I mean, it's really going to depend on what the openings are in the Orioles staff. I mean, if he does, it's probably going to be as a reliever at mm-hmm. some point. But, you know, maybe the O's still think it's a starter long term. And you remember like the Logan Gillespie ad, we were all like, oh my gosh, Logan Gillespie is going to be a huge part of this Orioles bullpen last year. And he certainly pitched with the O's and he was helpful, but he was mostly an up and down guy and a depth guy and a Norfolk shuttle guy. But the good thing for Gillespie is they haven't given up on him. He's still there and he's still going to be on the 40 man. So maybe this isn't his big league year, but that could also mean he just dominates AAA the whole year, Nick Vespi style, and is kind of always ready to go. I will probably need more pitching, and I think I'm just going to go with a guy who broke onto the scene in 2022. I like his stuff. I like the fastball. He got to AA, and he's just going to continue to move up this system as maybe not the starter that's going to wow everyone, but Justin Armbruster just gets people out, and it seems like a pretty good 1-2 punch where, yeah, his stuff's good. McDermott's got the crazy stuff, and Armbruster's just going to go out there and get everybody out every single time he goes out there. So I'm liking that 1-2 in my rotation.
Well, Connor, once again, blowing up my board. I'm going to go with Anderson De Los Santos. Looks like a possible breakout candidate at third base, and this is also a position where once you get past Kobe Mayo and Max Wagner, things start to drop off a little bit. So for this pick, I'll go with De Los Santos. I think we get a look at him in full season ball this year. Definite offensive potential. A guy I've been hearing about for a while. But seeing what he looks like in full season, I think he'll put together a nice year in Delmarva.
Guys, did Gene Pinto die or something? Because I mean, he's still a good prospect in the system. He might have had a small step back last year, but he's still very young, has great stuff. And I still think that he has a potential to at least be a multi-inning weapon out of a bullpen. So give me Gene Pinto for my second starter in my rotation. Looking for a bounce back this year as he gets to AA at what, like 21, 22 years old. And then give me another guy who I think would have gone higher in this draft, except he got hurt, or it was a non-injury. I forget. We found out some extra information, but Carlos Tavera. I mean, this guy, stuff looked explosive in high A, would have made it to double A if not for, you know, missing some time. But man, he can be dominant at times, and I do trust this player development. I do think the Orioles can develop pitchers. It's a little hot button issue right now in Orioles birdland, but yeah, I think Tavera will, if he's healthy this year, he's going to be one of the big breakouts and could end the year in AAA. And I'll take that as a 1-2-3 punch rotation as Cade Povich, Gene Pinto, and Carlos Tavera. Thank you very much.
I like the staff, and I was really banking on Tavera falling back to me. Thanks.
I'm going to go with the breakout guy for last year to add to my rotation. That's Juan de los Santos. De los Santos was really good at Delmarva last year, despite having a very drastic uptick in innings pitched. So want to see what he does again over a longer season at Aberdeen. He's got really good stuff. I definitely like him as another addition to my rotation.
So everybody's taking pitching. I've got two starters here in McDermott and Armbruster. Now we're kind of at an interesting point in this draft where we're into the meat of the pitching. And it maybe almost makes sense to continue to take pitching, but I'm going to go with maybe some super high upside here and just see how it plays out. And yeah, will we even see him higher than the FCL this year? Probably not, but I heard too many good things about Luis Almeida to not take him right here. And I just think in terms of, and he's an interesting guy who may not even spend as much time in the Dominican Summer League because just life-wise, you know, he's more used to being in the United States. They can maybe just have him spend more time in the FCL this year, potentially. And Eric could get a really good look at him for us. And I don't know, I just, you know, hearing all the words of, hey, if he had, you know, stuck around here, he could have been a first round pick in the MLB draft. I'm more excited about him than I am about, you know, Leandro Arias and Braylon Tavera, the last two guys. And so, yeah, maybe reaching a little bit, but I'll take Luis Almeida.
If you weren't going to take him there, I was going to take him. I thought he was falling a little bit there. Yeah. I don't think I'd be surprised if we see him at all in the DSL, to be completely honest. Well-spoken kid, got the pretty high level experience here at the high school rank. So great pick there. See, back-to-back picks. Let me go ahead and I'm going to stick with another pitcher here, continue the run on pitching. I'm going to go the minor league pitcher of the year last year, Ryan Watson. There's another name here that I'm kind of second-guessing myself now, should have went with, but I'm going to stick with Ryan Watson. I like the guy. Career reliever, even at college at Auburn. He wasn't on our radar at all as a potential starter. And then we had Adam Pohl on. And I think he said at the beginning it was kind of more, you know, COVID issues kind of forced him into the rotation. But man, I know it's cliche, but I think it fits here with him. He's a bulldog out on the mound. He's got the closer mentality, deep pitch mix, holds the velo well throughout the games, high velo pitcher. I really like Ryan Watson a lot. I'm excited to see what he can do in AAA this year. And see what the Orioles do with him. Do they keep him as a starter? Do they move him back to the bullpen? He's kind of on that same path as Noah DeNoyer. It'd be interesting to see what the Orioles do. And then for my next pick, I'm going to grab my shortstop here. And I'm going to go a little high upside, a little risky, but I'm going to buy the potential and go with Carter Young. The Vanderbilt pick was a 17th round pick last year, but ended up getting the fourth highest signing bonus, like $1.3 million, I think, or over $1 million signing bonus last year's draft. Was it injury? Was the bat just not that great? I think that's TBD. Clearly, I think the Orioles are pretty high on the bat, so a little bit of power. But if anything, I've got a very slick fielding shortstop to add to my middle infield there to pair with Prieto, who may not be a slick fielding, but kind of short the middle infield there.
Yeah, he's the we did not get Nolan McLean guy. And so they end up with Carter Young. And would I rather have McLean, especially after seeing what he's done so far at Oklahoma State coming back? Yes.
Yep.
But a nice consolation prize there for the Orioles. So that was just part one of two of our 2023 Orioles minor league draft with Bob Phelan, Nick Stevens, and Zach Spedden, the three co-hosts of the BSL On the Verge podcast, which does an amazing job covering all things Orioles minor leagues. You can check them out there on their podcast feed and on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts once a week covering all things Orioles minors. They had Chase McDermott on their show, the Orioles minor leaguer, this week with an interview with him. And coming up next week, John Mioli coming on the show as well. Make sure to go subscribe there. I highly recommend that as your second listen as an Orioles podcast after you make Locked On Orioles your first listen. But we'll be back tomorrow with part two of the draft, rounds 8 through 15 coming up. We get a little deeper into the Orioles system, some sleepers, some breakout picks for 2023 as we round out our teams in part two of the Orioles 2023 minor league draft. But that's coming up on tomorrow's episode to finish out the week. Until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.